morning. Come on, Ash. Sweetheart.
Senior moment.
We've just been married almost 14 months. We count the months because I do color my gray, but he doesn't. And so you know we're not going to have 40 years. So we count the months, and so every 30th of every month we celebrate, and I post on Facebook, happy 13th anniversary to us or whatever. So we're a little silly in our old age here, but I'm going to let Ash talk at first for a minute. I don't know if you need a mic.
Can you can hear me, right?
Except it won't be on the recording.
That's okay.
Okay, well, yes, it's not okay. Okay. Thank you, Justin. Perfect.
Well, let me just say how thankful and grateful we are to be here with you all today and to have this opportunity in ministry to share with you what God is doing around the world, and particularly in South and Latin America, where Betsy's main ministry is. I will say that Betsy and I, she said, just got married about 14 months ago now. We met back when Betsy was at the ICU unit, pediatric ICU.
Cardiac.
I had a, she's got all the...
Well, we have three ICUs in Evanston.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm such a, you know, I'm a type A ICU nurse, detail-oriented, sorry.
I'll let her tell the story in a minute. But I'm going to go ahead and get mine in. We met. I had a grandson that was born in 96, 95, and very quickly was discovered he needed a heart transplant and was taken to Emory Hospital. And Betsy happened to be one of the nurses that helped minister to him during that interim while he was waiting to receive a new heart. And months went by, and it was very difficult. His little body was beginning to deteriorate a little bit. They finally found a heart, and he did have a transplant, and but it didn't take, and so he passed away. But Betsy got to know my middle daughter and my wife, who were there quite often in the hospital. And I'm not sure whether I met her or not. I think I would know. I think I would know if I did. Okay.
I remember the grandmothers, but not the grandfathers.
But anyway, I guess what 20 years, close to 20 years went by. Betsy showed up at the church where we worship in Parkview, out in Lilburn, and my wife at the time was herself going through cancer treatments. And so over a course, I retired in 2010 to take care of her full time, to minister to her for her needs. And she passed away in 2012 after 49 and a half years of marriage. And so...
And I can't tell you what a precious woman of the Lord she was.
Just renewing the contact with Betsy was a tremendous blessing to her. She wanted to support Betsy in her ministry, which we did for a period of time there. And so after that, a year or so went by, and a couple in the church invited Betsy to dinner one night. And then they called me and said, would you like to come as well? And you could be here, because it was going to be three women and the lady's host husband. And I said, I could do that. I said I'd be willing to do it just so he'd have some company. And turns out, I think there was a little more involved behind the scenes that I didn't know.
Not for me.
But God.
They did have ulterior motives.
Yeah, they did. And she was, yeah, so anyway, but God began to work. You know, my world had really shrunk. My life had shrunk down. I was just at home all the time. I was not actively in ministry anymore. And so after that dinner, I think I asked Betsy if she'd like to go out to dinner. and she agreed to do that so we could get better acquainted a little bit, know each other more, since she invited me in worship to sit where she was sitting with some other couples and a single lady. And so God worked in just miraculous ways. I mean, I am a man. I stand before you as a man that's been twice blessed. You talk about double blessing. God has really done marvelous things. Anyway, our relationship developed and grew, and God brought us together. And I say this for some of you older folk who might be here today. My world opened up again, and it became global, worldwide, you might say. And I got—I had to go through the training to become a missionary under MTW. So I'm a retired pastor, unretired now, as a missionary, not medical. This is the medical part. But what God does is he opens doors for us to share as a team. She takes people medical and non-medical on every trip. And God opens the doors for non-medical people to be able to support the doctors and nurses who go, but also to interact. You know, sometimes I went on medical trips where I did construction work, you know, working, helping to build or remodel something, whatever. But when you go on a medical team, you're really interacting with people, with individuals. And that is, you know, just being able to get to know them, to listen to some of their problems, to pray with them, and most importantly, to be able to share the gospel with these folks in these countries. And so the medicine draws them in, and then they not only get attended to, but they also get to hear. So this lady is a trophy of God's grace, and he is blessing and using her. She's a trophy to me, not just a trophy wife, but she is way up there as far as I'm concerned. And we modeled, I think our ministry, we could truly say, is modeled on the earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is, that he went from village to village and town to town. And what did he do? He preached the gospel and he healed the sick. Word and deed ministry. And what did he do when he sent the 12 out in the gospel of Luke in the 8th chapter? He sent the 12 out to villages and towns to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And so Betsy's going to tell you about that. And she's got 11 years of great testimony of what God is doing in Latin America.
Thank you, honey. I think there's a switch here.
Okay. That's my technician.
Press on off. And then my friend Adana McGee, I'm going to ask her to share a story about one family in Monterrey, Mexico, this week later. So, Justin, if you'll bring it back when Adana comes up. I'll just add, Jake was 6 months old when he died. So he went in the hospital at 3 months old age, and now he's got a whole heart in heaven. And so between us, we have 17 earthly grandchildren and one more in heaven, so we have 18. And Ash forgot to say, I was divorced in 1992, and Debbie said I said I would never get married again. Probably early on I did, and I actually ran from this man for a little while because I was, like, scared of relationship again, but I'm the one that's blessed. We did just get in last night. Let me just pray and center myself here a minute. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you give me the words I am to speak that will glorify the Son and encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ here and cause them to pray for the nations? Would you give us our spirits of supplication and then a vision of Christ's work in the world, specifically today in medical evangelism? And show us whether we're medical or not, whether we're old or young, where and how we might fit in, whether we send or whether we go, whether we pray, whether we give. Give us a passion for the glory of God in all things, and give us hearts broken for the things of the world that break yours. Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, our Savior, you do seek to save the forlorn, the hurting, the rebels, just like we once were. And like Leslie is, Lord, so I implore you to bring that specific rebel right now to the kingdom. But come and use this time for Christ's sake. I pray this in his precious and powerful name. Amen. I really feel unprepared, and so this is a work of the Holy Spirit. I actually have too much to say, because over the 11 and a half years that I've been called to this ministry, there is so much that God is doing in the world that we get a glimpse to see, like maybe an eyelash full. And then all the stuff that is going on collaterally or invisibly, there's a lot of positive collateral damage. And I will say, I'll give you one example of that. In Monterey, where we just were, I've been going there since 2007, and I've watched Carla and Deanna grow up from doing kids' evangelism. They were not bilingual, so they always did the kids' evangelism, to now, one of them is in her second year of nursing school, and one just finished her first year of medical school, because they saw what God was doing holistically in the lives of people through our medical teams. Another translator 5 years ago, at the end of that summer, well, we were just there a week, but she felt like the Lord was calling her into nursing school. And then one of the local pastor's daughters went into social service. So I call that collateral damage. Who knew that? And we've had servers, janitors, come to Christ in the hotels and places we've worked, because they'll come up to us at the end of a week and say, something's different about y'all. I'm a converted Yankee, but I say y'all. And so we've actually had servers and a janitor come to faith in the Philippines and other places. Translators who were not believers, but were translating not just things that we needed to hear medically about our patients, but then while the doctor went to the pharmacy to get the medicines, then the translator would start asking, how can we pray for you for more than your physical needs? And even some of them would sit down, and before they would start talking about their physical needs, they would share depression, suicidal thoughts. A son had been kidnapped and 10 days later found missing. Another son in Trinidad, you remember the year his son was kidnapped, and they never found him. They just found his car. So people unburden abuse in families and just lots of loneliness. And in socialized medicine around the world, people don't even often get a stethoscope laid on them. You sit across from a desk, and you get a prescription. Not a handshake, nothing. And we are not about numbers in our medical evangelism clinics. We will often spend 20 or 30 minutes with a patient or a family. It's not unusual that there's a real critical need in physical, emotional, and spiritual areas, and that we are with a family or a patient for 2 hours. And I have stories after stories to share with you. But our medical teams, and we're with the Presbyterian Church in America, which is Reformed and conservative, go at the invitation of our missionaries or our national pastors or national physicians. We go in September, I'm going to the Dominican Republic. Our denomination does not have missionaries there, but we work with Dr. Sylvia Martinez, who heads the Luke Society, after Dr. Luke in the Bible. And she does work with several pastors, has feeding programs. They even have a youth group in their home every Monday night with believing and unbelieving teenagers come. So we send out about 50 teams a year. We could send more, but we don't have enough volunteers or trained team leaders. We actually, just this last week, when I got home and had internet again, actually last night, a colleague of mine. There's only two of us that do teams year-round. I was doing six before I married Ash. Now I've dropped down to five to give us more time to be together. Oh, I forgot to tell you I was divorced. Did I tell you I was divorced for 23 years? So I was very independent, had total control, so I thought of my life. And so I did have more time to travel internationally. But we have supporting 24 supporting churches, and you've been supporting us. My last visit here was 2012. I remember meeting Peggy. But you've been supporting me annually and now us since before then. But we have 24 supporting churches and about 60 families. I don't take an HMA, which is the home mission assignment. Old term was furlough, to visit all my churches. I'm preparing for five teams a year in overlapping stages. So before I went to Mexico, I sent out my first team letter for the Dominican Republic in September, and I'm already have about half my team recruited for Trinidad in January. So I'm like, okay, which day is it? Who am I talking to? Which team are you on? But we did have to cancel a team to the Philippines in September. It was partly a women's symposium, and it was the second week was going to be in Tanawan, where several years ago, I think it was 2013, there was a huge typhoon. And we have disaster response teams, too, aside from medical teams. And there is a church plant there now in Tanawan. And so we were going to go back. I wasn't on that team, but we had to cancel because we didn't have any doctors. And if doctors can't go, the nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants, nurses can't go, and the lay people. So we could send out more than 50 teams a year if we had more volunteers. I mainly am doing this hemisphere now. I'm moderately, I can talk in Spanish moderately. I'm not fluent. He keeps saying I'm fluent, but I do not translate for a doctor because I'm afraid that I will miss something important. And when they talk fast, then I lose it. Speaking of Korea, one of the physicians on our team is Sun Young An, and she is Korean-American, a precious pediatric nephrologist from the Washington, D.C. area. We actually had a really multinational team. Stella is a nurse from Ghana, and when we introduce ourselves, she's as black as the night is dark. And so we say, this is my identical twin, Stella. And don't we look alike? Because we're such close sisters in the Lord. She's been with me to Monterey 5 years in a row now. So pray that the Lord opens the hearts of healthcare professionals, everything you can imagine. In Monterey, we have a precious woman in the church that cuts hair for patients while they're waiting for free. Do you know what a gift that is to women? And I told you I had too many stories. This year she cut the hair of one family. They were very poor. And the woman started crying because nobody would cut her kids' hair because they've had lice in the past. And so nobody wanted to lay hands. And here's the other thing is we give away medicine and we do laboratory tests for free. And you get your hair cut for free, and we give reading glasses away. And people say, well, why don't I have to pay for it? Well, what is that a lead into? This could be a participatory session. What's free? The grace of Christ. Can we earn our way to heaven? Can we buy our way to heaven? No, so it's always a beautiful opportunity to lead even into a haircutting session. Why we're here. One man in the Philippines did ask our translator, asked Jerry Staten actually, why are these people here? How did they get here? Is our government paying them to come? And Eric said, no, they're here because God called them here to show you how much he loves you. And there was a man in Mexico one time, and the same question was asked, and the pastor there explained that in this. We actually were at a center where people were either caught and were deported back to the it was in Juarez, or they had been abused on the way through Latin America trying to get across the border. And the man just sat there for the longest time when Moises said that to him, and he said, nobody would do that for us. So We call that, we talk a lot about it, that on our team, is the ministry of presence. Just that you go. And Dan, I'm going to ask you to share what Dr. B says about that versus sending a check when you come up. I'm going to ask Adana to tell a story about a family in Monterey. The verse that I pray for my teams is Romans 15, 5, and 7. I think I have it memorized, but I'm tired. At the end of the week, I actually can't talk very well in English or Spanish. And this is it, Romans 15, 5 through 7. So when you think of me, you can go to your Bibles and pray this for all of my assigned teams. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, and I pluralize it, grant us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and with one mind we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 7 goes on to say, accept one another then as Christ has accepted you, to bring praise to whom? To God. Our desire, we sang about salt and light, is to be salt and light to the nations, to be the sweet aroma of Christ. And if we don't go prayed up and we go with our little individual egos instead of a team unified, then we can do damage to the kingdom. We want to give the churches more credibility, more visibility. We want to teach our brothers and treat our brothers and sisters in the churches to keep them healthy to do what they are called to do where they live. But then our clinics are outreaches into the community, especially in a Catholic country where people will never set foot in an evangelical church. And one of our doctors said to me, especially when they hear there's a team of U.S. doctors, you know, we're put on pedestals that we don't deserve because the recognition of our own poverty places us on a pier with all of our patients, whether they're saved or unsaved. And there is the image of God in every created being that comes through the doors of our clinic. Sometimes we're in a church. Sometimes we're in a municipal building. We've been in parks where there's been drapes strung between trees for shade. We've been in just covered basketball municipal courts. Wherever the missionaries or the pastors want to, or the doctor, like Dr. Sylvia, wants to help share the gospel. So we are called to begin relationships that otherwise would not happen. One man in Acapulco, it's a long story for him, but we asked him, you know, how'd you find out about the clinic? He said, you know, I never walked down the street on my way to work, and then I saw the sign, Clinica Medica, Brigada Medica Gratis, and he came in, and he had a long story. And while we had to go get some medicine that we didn't have for him, he went into the pastor's office, and he came out, your brother in Christ with me, and he was suicidal. Long story behind his, but here's another quote I love, one of the physician's assistants. We doctors are the draw in mobile clinic ministries, but we are simply beggars showing other beggars where to find bread, bread with a capital B. So the only difference is that the Holy Spirit has opened our hearts and shown us our need for Christ. That's the only difference in those of us who are saved and unsaved. Would you do the first video, and then I'll talk a little more, and you need to give me a high sign too, Deb. What time? Trumpet. You'll hear my medical directors in this, and it's a country in Africa that we can't tell you the name.
We're in West Africa today with a medical team from MTW. We've been invited here by the National Church, and we're working with local churches throughout the country to help them with their church planting effort.
We're seeing everything from chronic diseases like hypertension and diabetes to ladies who can't become pregnant to just about anything that you might expect on a normal day in the United States, plus other infections and things like that that only occur here. Well, we're here to give medical care to their community as a just an outreach and help people who don't really understand what Christianity is all about to see it in action.
This is an Islamic country, a Muslim country, where we're able to work with the church in concert with the government. And we have church planters from West Africa here with us, helping, preaching, and praying for patients. Yet the government has allowed us to use their facility to see our patients. It's a beautiful way to show how medical missions works with the church, but also in concert with the local government. We've heard from our church planters around the world how important medical care is, not only from a physical perspective, but from an emotional and spiritual perspective as well.
Well, first of all, people will come to a medical clinic who might not walk into a church because they have physical needs that they would like to have met. The whole process of seeing a patient is a very intimate process, you know, very individual and personal. So when you sit down with someone to talk about their physical concerns, you know, they'll often open up about, you know, their family concerns and spiritual concerns as well.
We bring our medical teams in areas of need where we can work with the government and under the auspices of the church.
We really only ever want to go where we're working with someone on the ground, and, you know, a lot of people will show interest in knowing more about who the church is, who Christ is, what the Bible's about. They can have seen the pastor and some of the church members, they're able to connect.
They hear the gospel, they're prayed for. Some make spiritual decisions for Christ, and it expands the local church, and it also gives the local church an opportunity to reach out to their neighbors in a compassionate way.
We have opportunities to really get deeply involved in people's lives in a very short span of time.
To be able to go to a country where there's minimal medical care and use your medical skills for people who are poor and do it in a Christ-centered, compassionate way is the highest calling that a Christian physician can ever have.
The teams run between 1 and 2 weeks usually.
Doctors, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, pharmacists, but we also use non-medical people. We have one or two non-medical people on almost every team, and they're just as important.
More doors are opening. Our requests from around the world are just getting more and more.
I invite my colleagues from around the world to join us and to experience this. People who have good medical skills and have a passion for reaching the world.
There are so many opportunities for God to use medicine, and we see Him using medicine to grow His kingdom in different places.
We depend upon God Himself to work in people's lives, not only to heal them physically, but to heal them spiritually as well. But there's nothing that I'd rather be doing. There's no other place I'd rather be than being the hands and body and feet of Christ among these people.
Just physically be present and touch individuals with His love and care. Makes all the difference in the world to be there.
Thanks. Justin, I'm not going to do the second one. Some of you saw it 4 years ago, but I want to maybe have time for two stories. Dana, if you want to get the microphone and come on up. people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. So meeting felt needs goes hand in hand with evangelism. And we can show tangible demonstrations of God's love. Hearts are prepared to hear the gospel. So share what Dr. B told our team 1 year, and then this story of David, Diana, y Dario.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Adana, and I met Betsy back in 2007. My husband and I were on the mission field in Trinidad. I was a very non-medical person, and I was on the end of receiving teams and having everything available for the team as they came. And just as collateral damage, our youngest Geneva has gone into nursing. She was drawing blood, I think, at 11 years old.
Finger sticks,
and even a blood
did
draw.
She did.
She learned how to do that on a nurse who courageously gave her arm. I met Dr. B on a mission trip to Trinidad, and
well, tell about your own collateral damage. What
okay,
you did.
My yeah. Oh, I'm collateral damage as well. I always wanted to go and be a medical technologist, But I married very young and had children, didn't do it. I'm very interested. I learned how to do finger sticks and worked in the eyeglass station and just wherever Betsy needed me or any other team needed me. But we came back to the States in 2009 and returned to Trinidad on the medical mission trip. And my second time back to Trinidad, a couple of the young nurses challenged me and said, Adana, why don't you go get your CNA? Everything you do, you could be a licensed CNA. I'm too old, you know. I'm too old to do that. So I was challenged, and that summer I went back to school and took my CNA course, which is a certified nursing assistant, passed, got my license, so I'm a licensed CNA, and the following year I went back to school and took the course to be a phlebotomist, so I can, I'm certified to do blood draws. So I became a medical person on the team, so I felt official now. I'm official medical. And I have the papers to prove it.
And is so. Also now teaching pre-med or med students or nursing students to draw blood. She's an amazing and gifted teacher with a lot of patients.
Thank you. So I met Dr. B on one of the teams, and he's from Alabama. And he now is in his early 80s, still goes to the mission field. And one of the stories he told that so impressed our youngest son, Joshua, and he shared it several times, people in Dr. B's church or whoever he was acquainted with, patients, would say, why do you go and do medical missions? Why do you go out to the field? Wouldn't you accomplish more by just giving a generous check? You could reach so many more people by just giving a big donation. And his response was, I go because people cannot hug a check. And what was mentioned there, that personal touch, many of these people receive no physical touch from day to day in their lives. And the fact that someone is willing to spend time with them, explain things to them, maybe even if there's nothing medically wrong with them, just someone to talk to, someone who they can share their burdens with, and to have a physical touch from. And one of those families that received a physical touch this week in the town of Allende, where we ministered at, a woman named Sylvia, who lives in Virginia. So she is from Monterey, but has not done any mission teams, came as a translator for us. Beautiful, lovely spirit, beautiful woman. Translator for us. She prayed beforehand, God, I don't know how you will use me, but use me on this trip. I don't know how to share the gospel, but use me on this trip for your glory and to expand your kingdom. And she prayed. And our last day, Friday, in a half-day clinic, she had a divine appointment. She and another team member,
Joaquin. Did Joaquin go with her?
I don't know. I thought it might have been.
We were very slow. We didn't have very many patients, so they went down the street into the community to tell more people about the clinic.
Yeah, wanted to go out, wanted to go to a little store so they could get a snack, something to eat and something to drink. So Sylvia had gone out, and they got to this store, and they noticed this young couple with a baby sitting there waiting. So Sylvia said to them, introduced herself, and said, oh, you know, you have a baby. We have a free medical clinic just a block away. Go for a checkup.
With a pediatrician.
We have a pediatrician on the team. You and as adults can see a doctor as well. And they were kind of hesitant. Well, no. Well, we're waiting here. We're waiting for a bus. But when she said we have a free medical clinic and we have a pediatrician, she said the husband and wife looked at each other with, you know, one of those looks like, whoa, what is going on here? Looked at one another, and that's when they said, we're waiting for a bus to take our little boy to see a doctor, a private doctor. He's been sick. We're worried about him. We don't know what's wrong with him. We borrowed money to take a bus to go see a private doctor. And so Sylvia's like, come to our clinic. So they came to the clinic, and the little boy, Darian, was able to see the pediatrician, David and Diana, the parents. The father, David, insisted, I don't need to see a doctor, I'm okay, and she kept insisting, but you're the husband, you're the father, you need to be well to care for your family. So he finally relented to see a doctor and was checked out, and he heard the gospel, was invited. He comes from a Catholic background, but he heard the gospel. They were invited to come to the church, so hopefully they came this morning. But little Darian was diagnosed with, I think, upper respiratory, so he received antibiotics. He did need medication, antibiotics, and just some things to make him more comfortable. But moms know their babies, even when they're only a few months old.
Because the doctor the week before in the Social Security clinic said, oh, he's just got a little cold, he'll be fine, but mamas know their babies.
Yeah. So anyway, they all received treatment physically and spiritually. But a divine appointment. We just never know how God is going to use us in another person's life, how he uses us to be his hands and feet and to show the love of Christ. Even if they don't respond to the gospel, we've loved on them, and they have seen God through us. So I've just been blessed to be part of medical team and to know Betsy for all these years. And again, just my view has gotten global, and the wonderful people I've met through MTW and the people I've met in other countries. So I am blessed. And if I can just throw this in here, you may share it towards the end, but Rich Wolf, who is the MTW coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean, we were privileged to meet him in Trinidad. And on one of his trips, he brought his wife, Lori, and their son, Chris. But Lori spoke at a women's conference, which Betsy was able to hear, but I've heard Lori say this, and that we're always so, oh, missions. Oh, we got to listen to another missionary and hear their stories we know nothing about, see the pictures. But Lori says this. She says, you know what? As Christians, we don't have to do missions. We get to do missions. And so that really, I am honored and privileged that I get to do mission work.
Justin. I'll close and let Jennifer, but one of my teammates wrote this after we were in the Philippines. She's an occupational therapist that has been in Bulgaria and Costa Rica and Trinidad. No, Philippines. She wrote, he, God, can orchestrate a perfect setup of us tilling the soil and planting seeds. Then our missionaries and national pastors or physicians continue to water or care for baby roots. You know, we did have several, some kids, some teenagers, and these parents prayed to trust Jesus. But we don't always have that happen. But after we leave, then the church follows up. And hopefully we'll disciple new believers. But you know what I call us, though? If I happen to be privileged to share the gospel and someone, the Spirit prays and they enter the kingdom, I was just a midwife watching a baby be born. Had nothing to do with it. Even if I shared the gospel really bad, it's all God. So it's a wonderful mercy ministry that is never about free medicine in and of itself. Thanks, Jennifer. I'll close, or you can close for me. I have so much more to share, but on the table back there, if you'd like to receive my newsletters after every trip, they're called About the Father's Business, and this one coming will be in Allende, but I have my Kenya and El Salvador newsletters, my testimony, and a prayer card for your refrigerator or your Bible, wherever you want to put it. Thank you so much, and thank you for being foundational in our ministry and letting us walk out your prayers around the world.
Thank you, Betsy.